Beloved, and welcome back to another episode of the Rename Beloved Book Club Edition. Woo! I'm so excited. Today, we are really excited to talk with you all because we are on the last and final apostle in the book 12 Ordinary Men by John MacArthur. If you haven't already checked it out, we've done a review of each of the 9 chapters of this book so far. Now we're on chapter 10, where we're going to be talking about Judas, known as the traitor. He's the infamous apostle who... betrays. Yeah, I keep wanting to say deceives, because he does deceive.
He is a deceiver.
But he betrays ultimately as well. But so we're going to dive in and talk about it today. If you haven't already, feel free to check out some of our other videos as we work through the list of apostles. Obviously, this is the last on the list, but we've had a really good time reviewing this book, and just want to sing the praises of John MacArthur that he's able to take what seems like a little bit of information about the apostles that we get in the Gospels and really just bring them to life and humanize them. So Meridia and I were just talking. We really are excited to be wrapping this book up, but we really hope, if you haven't, you know, checked it out, get your hands on this one. It's one that I really think everyone should read.
Yes.
It helps, I think, to realize that Christ calls imperfect people for his perfect purposes, and wants to work with what we bring, the messiness, the brokenness that we bring, and he can transform us. So unfortunately, though, Judas is not an example of that. So we want to talk today about the reality that not all will come to Christ, even after experiencing him. Some will follow their own desires or their own, their own fleshliness, if you want to call it, like, the enemy, the devil that worked through Judas. I don't know. I want to hear from you. I know this chapter was really impacted you, me as well, but I want to hear from you just to kind of get your impressions as we open up the discussion today.
Yeah. So I think Judas is the most infamous character in the scriptures overall. But, you know, I think we just kind of gloss over that, because in every time he's mentioned, he's going to be said, it's said that he's a betrayer. So I think taking the time of one of the cool things MacArthur does here is he kind of brings you back to real time.
Yeah.
Like what it must have been to, like, be in that moment with the apostles. I think that for me, what was powerful about Judas's story is it's a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
And also it speaks to Jesus's prophecy or warning, whichever you want to call it, where he's saying people are going to come in among you dressed as sheep, but inside they're ravenous wolves. I think it's super noteworthy and something I never thought about, that at the Last Supper, nobody suspected Judas.
Oh yeah.
No one suspected him. He must have, and these are people casting out demons, performing miracles. And even Jesus says there will be people at hell's gate, Lord, Lord, haven't I? And Judas is one of those people.
It's so scary.
It is. He's doing everything. He's like walking the walk. He's looking that. I mean, so that's what for me was like jarring. And it was just a totally, I never thought about Judas in that kind of light. Like, oh, there's Judases among us today. Like a lot of Judases.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the spirit, or I think it's both, right? Like, I think Satan works on our natural fleshly failures or shortcomings, or like what's already faulty within us. Like whatever sin you're kind of bent towards. Satan knows that, because, you know, we're adopted by God, but we're his children first. You know, so he knows what you like, he knows what sins you're interested in, how to kind of, he knows you in a sense, like he kind of has our number. And so, you know, it's both. So Judas made the decision, and Satan, you know, Jesus dips the bread, Satan enters him, it says in the book of John.
I know. That's like freaky to me.
It's actually really crazy. Yeah.
It is crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, so it wasn't, I don't know, but I agree 100%. I was shocked just to take a step back and realize that for the three years around that long length of time that all the disciples were with Christ and participating in his ministry, like casting out the demons, preaching to the groups of people, while we don't see that talked about much with Judas. We don't see that with really anybody except those first four apostles as much. Mm-hmm. So, but that's, we should assume that they were right alongside doing those things. So it's just wild to me. Like, in my mind, I can't help it, but like, I just pictured like them trying to cast out a demon and then Judas, it just like failing. Well, obviously that's not what happened, but it's not like he just like got up there to cast out a demon and just failed. And then everybody realized he was a phony. Like, no, not
more
at
alarmingly,
all.
He was casting them out.
Exactly. More alarmingly, he was working, which is just so, so interesting. And I think just really, like you said, a caution to us today that, you know, we have to continue to test the spirits. Now, clearly Judas eventually gave himself away. Like, his true colors eventually gave himself away, and his true desires and passions, where his heart truly was, gave him away. But it is just scary to know that nobody did suspect him at that final supper. I wanted to touch on a little bit about what we do know about Judas just before the betrayal.
Yeah,
MacArthur does a good job kind of breaking some things down. He is listed last in all the list of apostles, except in Acts, where he's not listed at all. By that time, they're kind of, I think, trying to forget about him. They replace him with Matthias. Mm. The two primary things we learn about the life of Judas is that it's possible to be near Christ and associate with him closely and yet become utterly hardened in sin. The second thing that we learn from the story of Judas is that no matter how sinful a person may be, and no matter what treachery he or she may attempt against God, the purpose of God cannot be thwarted. And I love that.
Yes.
That is, I think, two very important lessons to take away from Judas. I was interested to find out that his name, Judas is kind of like a pejorative now, just it's like got those heavy negative connotations, but the name actually means Jehovah leads, which is interesting when you think about it, just the fact that, you know, God's plans can't be thwarted. Jehovah leads regardless. I thought that was kind of ironic. But, and then the last name, Iscariot, not quite sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but it means basically the name of a town. It's like man of Kerioth Hezron is, I'm probably not pronouncing that right. It's likely referencing a town in southern Judea. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. If that is what that is referring to, with MacArthur makes a strong case that it likely is, that that is just kind of locating him within his hometown, that surname. He would have been the only disciple not from Galilee in the north. So with that context, he's already kind of an outsider within the core group. And so it almost makes it make more sense that they're just getting to know, maybe, who knows? I'm not an expert on the culture. It's fascinating to me, but maybe the culture and the customs would have been slightly different. Maybe if they thought Judas was acting a little funny, maybe they attributed it to the fact that he didn't come from the same area of the country.
True.
Maybe his dialect would have been a little bit different, or things like this. Like, maybe they could attribute some of their unfamiliarity with knowing him well to the fact that he would have already been a little bit different from the rest of the group, if that makes sense. So it would have made it easier. The point I'm trying to make is it would have made it easier for Judas to deceive them and kind of put on an act, I think.
Yeah.
Doesn't that make sense? I mean,
makes a lot of
sense. I know that's
sense.
Not always the case, and kind of painting with broad strokes here, but I thought that was really interesting. And his call is not recorded, so we don't get a really good idea of how he joined the group, but we do know he was out of his own free will to follow Christ, at least at first, you know, so.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to note, too, like, even Simon the Zealot, like, the Zealots were very strict to keeping the law. And you'll see in a lot of the apostles, they were actually already following John the Baptist. They were like men of scripture.
Right.
We have no indication of that with Judas.
Yeah.
So I think that that is a very interesting insight. I didn't think about that, actually, how he was from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And that in of itself, they're like, that guy's a little weird. Must be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just must be how they are down there. You know, like,
yeah, even if it was kind of like a trivial thing, I mean, just little things, it would have made it a lot easier for if you don't know somebody or know kind of how they were raised, I guess, maybe certain things that might strike you different, they you kind of just say, well, I don't know. I don't know what he's on.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting what Judas must have, because everything seems to be revealed in hindsight. Mm-hmm. Like they become aware that he was a thief, but they did not ever suspect that
right.
when he was like among them. The betrayal sort of must have illuminated a lot of things. Like he was seemingly the treasurer,
yeah.
essentially, of the group.
Right.
Yeah, he was stealing money. And I think it's interesting, MacArthur gets into the... what he calls, what seems to be, from the best of what we have in scripture, like the last straw mm-hmm. for Judas, which is when Mary takes that box of perfume mm-hmm. and breaks it over the feet of Jesus and wipes it with, you know, it's like very elaborate. Mm-hmm. And that box of perfume, Judas says, why wasn't that sold to the poor for 300 denarii? Mm-hmm. And the thing about a denarii is that's a day's wages. Mm-hmm. So this was a year's worth of wages
yeah.
that she poured onto Jesus's feet, and he accepted it. Mm-hmm. Jesus told Judas, let her alone.
Yeah.
Which is such a mild rebuke. And oh yeah, that's,
but yeah,
there's that final straw incident where he seems like he felt robbed. He'd mm-hmm. been stealing money the whole time.
Yeah.
Right. And then here Jesus accepts this lavish act of praise
right
that would have put a lot of money in Judas's pocket
mm-hmm. And that's revealed in John, and for yes. some reason I didn't realize that, or it's, if I had heard it, it wasn't at the forefront of my mind yeah. When I was thinking about Judas. I think the betrayal overshadows some of what we think so much, to the point that mm-hmm. you almost gloss over, at least I know I did, I almost glossed over him in other areas where yeah. he's mentioned, because it's like, obviously we don't like him very much. Mm-hmm. He did the worst thing. But in I think it's in John, right, where yeah. he, it's almost like he puts an aside where he's like, for he was, well, let's just bring it. Is it John?
It's in 12. John. John adds all the asides.
John, where he's like, because he's writing in retrospect, he's like, yeah. and he said this because he was, the whole time he was stealing.
Yeah, you can feel John's betrayal.
Right, yes.
You can feel it in how he writes about Judas.
Absolutely.
Because he's the most, and Matthew and John actually both write the most about Judas.
Yeah.
Like most of the insights are them.
Yes. So I will read, I'm in John 12. I'll start in verse 4. So Mary's just anointed him with the perfume, the expensive perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, in parentheses, who was about to betray him, said, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. Having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. I don't know why that detail, like, I overlooked it.
Yeah.
At a certain point, I know that, like, greed was Judas's kind of mortal sin, if you want to say that. Or, like, I've heard about the greed being the issue, but I always miss that part where it's like, he had been stealing.
Yeah.
He had sticky fingers. Mm-hmm. And John is exposing him. He's spilling the tea in retrospect, because he knows now, he can see clearly now. But it's so subtle, that comment. Well, why don't you just sell that and give it to the poor?
It seems pious almost.
It seems pious. Such a well-disguised mm-hmm. example of his greed in the way he frames the question. And it's almost like he wants to trick, or like pin Jesus in the corner. Mm-hmm. Be like, wait yeah. a second. You're going to accept this? You know how many people that would feed? And Jesus clearly knows his heart. He's like, leave her alone. She is offering this to me, and he knows he's a worthy recipient of it, but mm-hmm. it's like, Judas, you don't even really care about the poor, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but he must have convinced the others in some measure, because in Matthew's account it says that all the apostles were a little bit upset about this, at least. Like, they were like,
yeah, that's a good point, Judas.
Yeah.
Why don't we sell this to the poor?
Right. Why, you know.
Or sell this and then give the money to the poor. Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine they're like, we're kind of making ends meet on the day-to-day basis here. That's worth a lot of money. What are, you know. Mm-hmm. And I loved that. How MacArthur was able to break that down and put you back in the midst of the group before the betrayal. And just how cunning and clever, honestly, Judas was to be able to disguise his true motives.
It's so interesting, too. Like, I'll take another line from Matthew. or I'll take a line from Matthew 26 and 25. Then Judas, because he's like, you know, at the Last Supper, Jesus is telling them that one of them at the table is going to betray him. And then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?"
Mm.
Wow. Look at Satan is bold.
Yeah.
And we forget about that. Like in the book of Job, Satan comes into the throne room. He takes Jesus to the top of the temple. Satan is not afraid to get right in your face mm-hmm. and lie. Another point MacArthur makes here is Judas had every opportunity to turn from his sin, as much opportunity as was ever offered anyone. He heard numerous appeals from Christ urging him not to do the deed he was planning to do. He heard every lesson Jesus taught during his ministry. Many of those lessons applied directly to him. And then it goes on to list a few parables: the unjust steward, the wedding garment, his preaching against the love of money, his preaching against pride. It's crazy because when you look at it in hindsight, you see how much of Christ's message was very specifically for Judas.
Mm.
And how unconverted and how angry. Because he's kind of put in the group. But MacArthur says that it's pretty likely that Judas, because there were lots of Jews at the time who wanted to overthrow the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
The Romans were oppressive.
Mm-hmm.
They took a lot of tax money. They were just a very perverse empire.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's likely, or MacArthur hypothesizes, that Judas was also following for political reasons initially.
Sure.
But when it became obvious Jesus was really not going to be the Davidic saving Messiah or Davidic reigning Messiah they wanted, he got disillusioned.
Yeah.
Instead of being like,
getting
maybe
on board.
I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, maybe what I want is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He is really locked on. He's leaned into his own understanding really hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And that helped me too, to understand that, yes, it was greed. Yes, it was self-serving motivations on the part of Judas, but that disillusionment factor that I think is such a human response at the end of the day. Like, this isn't happening in my timeline how I wanted it to happen or how I expected it to happen. So honestly, mm-hmm. and it's not really serving me because I was trying to get rich, and now, you know, that 300 denarii worth of perfume, I can't even benefit from that. So it's like Judas didn't mm-hmm. see the long term. He clearly didn't understand the assignment, as we've said in previous episodes, but it's like that dissatisfaction because it's not happening in your time in how you thought it would. And I just feel like that's such a human response that almost is kind of like, not that you can understand Judas, but you can relate to that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You can relate to feeling disillusioned with, oh, this isn't how I thought it was going to work out. And yeah, so I guess that helped me. And because that's the only time actually we see Jesus rebuking Judas
mm-hmm.
is after the incident with the anointing perfume, where Jesus says, you know, let her alone. You always have the poor with you, but you won't always have me.
Yes.
And you can just almost mm-hmm. sense Judas, this greed and this dissatisfaction with the pace that things are going and the direction that things are going as he's a follower of Christ. Like, he's not seen enough action and not enough results almost.
Mm-hmm.
You can almost see him that being the final straw. So immediately he goes and figures who to go to turn Jesus over and to betray him.
Yes.
For 30 pieces of silver. The price of a slave. I mean, and so, but what really got me, we know Judas is torn up afterward, trying to give the money back and saying, I've betrayed innocent blood. And the religious leaders were saying, that has nothing to do with us. You deal with your own feelings of guilt. But MacArthur makes a big distinction between his feelings of remorse are not the same as his feeling of repentance, because he doesn't repent.
It's not
he does feel sorrow. Remorseful, though. Mm-hmm. It's almost like his conscience kicks back in. And it's almost like, if you think about it that way, it's like the devil enters Judas accomplishes the betrayal and almost just like leaves him to rot. Not that the devil like ever lifts off of him, but it's almost like his conscience does come back. So it just kind of goes to show how just as God wants to use us and we are to be vessels of God and of the Holy Spirit, it's like the enemy uses people in the same way. He doesn't care about you and doesn't care about consequences of whatever happens in your life, you know, after he's done using you to get his. Does that make sense?
No, that's actually so good. It makes a ton of sense.
Okay.
I'm thinking about how Jesus calls Satan a liar and a murderer from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And that's what he accomplishes in Judas, yeah. right? Like, so Judas's heart is hard.
Yeah.
It's cold. He already is doing a lot of foulness and not expressing any repentance.
Mm-hmm.
And so Satan enters him, pushes him over the edge, right? He's prowling around Judas. He's prowling around Judas. It's just like, you know, like when God removes his hedge of protection from Job, then Satan can come in. And so that's what he did. It's almost like that's what Jesus did when he dips the bread and Satan enters him. He's like takes his hedge of protection off of Judas. So then Satan comes in and, you know, because Lord is it I is almost like, I wonder, it makes you wonder, like, did Judas like want Jesus to call him out in that moment? Because he surely had to have known that Jesus knew.
Right.
Like, or perhaps he underestimated, because Jesus seems to have infinitely more insight than he shares.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes Jesus asks questions to get another person, because sometimes when you ask people questions, it actually makes them realize where they are. Sometimes someone has to ask you a question so you can really nail down your position on something.
Right.
So Jesus does that with people. So he had, so I don't know if he knew, but it's like, what, that's like a, almost like a challenge, mm-hmm. like a direct challenge to, Lord, is it I? You know, it's you.
Right.
And he knows it's you. So it's really interesting. And yeah. And then Judas kills himself. Like after that incident, it's not a godly sorrow. Judas of all people should have known Jesus was able to forgive him. He should have known that Jesus was prophesying of his death the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though Judas is the one that handed him over, this is all according to Jesus's plan anyways.
Right.
So, you know, instead of going down to, you know, like prison to visit Jesus and beg for his repentance at his feet or anything like that, he goes to hurl himself off of a cliff because after Satan leaves him, he's empty and wretched.
Yeah.
You know, like we are wretched and given over to sin. So he's just feeling that and feeling that distance from Christ. Mm-hmm. And he's unable, you know, to bridge that gap.
Yeah.
We thank you so much for joining us on our first edition of the book club, our first book in the book club series. Yeah. So we've had a lot of fun with this one. We are so excited, so excited to announce our next book with you that we're going to be going over. But if you like this kind of content, please subscribe. We release videos every week and we'd love to have you. And if you have any insights on this book, what is Judas's story taught you about your Christian walk? What has it taught you about the body of Christ? Mm-hmm. We'd love to hear your thoughts. We are still, while we've already picked our next book, we're always taking book recommendations. Thank you, beloved. We love you.
We'll see you next time.
Yes.